I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and monarchical mysteries abound.
Ooh,
monarchical. I had to look that word up.
I will be doing that after the episode.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by these adventurers very much in need of a long rest. So say hi, everyone.
Yes, we need a long rest.
How many episodes has it been since you had a rest?
61.
It's been at least four.
Oof. Yeah, where did we last rest?
It was outside the city, wasn't it?
We've just arrived. Yeah,
today.
We've been awake the whole day.
We're such tourists. We're like, let's do everything in day one.
Let's do a rally, save a prince, uncover a
raid
conspiracy, fight some Arcanists, and all in the day's work.
Don't worry, I've got one spell slot left.
I think the last rest was episode 55 or 56 around 16, Russellgate.
Oh no, hashtag Russellgate.
Well, I believe there's an Arcanist waiting for a friendly chat.
Oh, shit.
So, she can wait till tomorrow.
Friendly.
She ain't friendly.
Let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No doubts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, leaving Sallow 16, the party split, processing the events that had just transpired. Enkidu flew off with Juna and Gaius in tow, quickly losing them in the night sky. Enkidu then scouted the Lord's Assembly, spending a moment talking with Hina before returning to Deromanet House. Journeying there themselves, Gwendolyn and Orin passed the Arcanist Consortium, asking after a tour, only to be told of a very long waiting list. Juna and Gaius arrived back first, informing Timon of all that had transpired. As the others arrived, Kasula pulled Gwendolyn aside for training and a heart-to-heart, leaving her with a communication device to speak with her father. Over sandwiches and a bottle of wine, you all read through a historic tome that detailed the lineage of the monarchy. On closer inspection, you noticed that every monarch had died of some kind of disease of the mind. As you puzzled over what this could mean, the doorbell rang, and Quince welcomed in a visitor for you. Arcanist Zerevir Tarik.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's where we pick it up. Before we go into what Zerovir Tarek's here to chat about, though, Gwendolyn.
Flashback.
Semi-flashback.
Semi-retcon.
You're upstairs in Casula's rooms. You've got this little pebble in your hand with the sort of the patterns around the edge. And you've been told to squeeze it and talk into it, and they'll hear you.
Okay. So she squeezes it. Hello? Is anybody there? Father? It's Deli.
So first of all, there's no response. And then you hear like this rustle, almost like somebody like scrabbling to pick up a stone.
Not Russell.
But this kind of like
everywhere.
White noise, like shh. Yeah. And he picks it up and he goes, Deli?
Father.
Deli!
Oh my goodness, it's so lovely to hear your voice. Is now a good time?
Well, yes, I was just going to bed, but yes. How did you get, is Casula okay?
Yes, she got a bit knocked up today. Did she tell you that there was an attack on Tymon Prevost and she bore the brunt of it?
She did not.
Oh, well, she's great, so that's probably why she didn't mention it to you. She's on the mend.
Is she nearby? Can I speak to her?
She just went downstairs. She left me with you. I'll tell her to call you later. She probably didn't want to worry you. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it.
I know, she's very much like that, isn't she?
Yeah. She's pretty great.
Well, I'm glad you're with her.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm with her too. We had a good talk and I was quite surprised for her to tell me that she kind of understands why I did what I did. I wondered if you were in the same camp, so to speak.
Well, it did come as a surprise.
Yeah.
But, well, have you been enjoying your travels?
Yes and no.
Oh.
I've made some really good friends. It's just there's been some challenging times on my travels as well. You know, it's all part of growing up, I guess, and travelling.
Yes, I've gotten into quite a few scrapes on the road myself.
I miss your stories. I miss talking to you.
I miss you too, dear. I'm so glad that you're with Casula, though. Does that mean you'll be coming home soon?
I don't think so. I'm...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm helping people, and I feel like this is the right place for me to be. But I am... I do want to apologise to you for the way that I left. I know you must have been awfully worried.
I was for some time, but... Well, now that I know you're safe,
yes.
That doesn't matter anymore, does it?
No, that's... I appreciate that, Father.
Everybody runs off at some point, and, well, this isn't quite the first time you've run away from home, just not as far.
Yeah, usually running after you as well. And...
Exactly.
Good.
If Juna is able to, you can message me whenever you like.
Yes?
Of course.
That would be wonderful. I'll try to avoid sending letters to your ceiling as well.
That would be appreciated.
Yeah.
We got a plasterer in and they fixed it up, but...
Did it really, like, damage the ceiling, or...?
So I was lying down when it appeared, and it just filled up the entire ceiling. Now, from the distance, it was... I can imagine paper size, but... It was just very big.
Oh.
So,
I did write a lot as well.
Yes.
Front and back.
Well, yes. We discovered most of it in the floor the next day, the above.
Oh. Wow.
No, it's fine. Mm. It means that, well, we've replaced most of it, but then we've left Love from Deli at the bottom, which is...
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yes.
Father, I can't tell you how relieved I am to hear your voice and to hear your positivity. what would you like me to do about the DeBarges? I've been concealing my identity whilst I've been travelling more recently to try and throw them off my scent. They seem to be trying to hunt me down. I did have a rather unfortunate incident with a bounty hunter, I suppose.
Oh, I didn't realise they were going to so much effort, I'll be honest.
Oh.
Prim's been largely in charge of calming them down. It's partly her idea to blame your friend.
Ah.
She's become very adept at dealing with people, much more than I ever was.
Well, she does like to get herself into being the centre of attention if she can.
Well,
I should probably speak to her about the DeBarges in that case.
Oh, yes, of course, I'm hogging you.
No, Father, please. I do have a few other quick questions, I suppose. Yes? I better just say, Carhilda, is that name familiar to you?
Yes?
Is it my name?
How did you come across that name, dear?
Well, I was in this place in the Golden Forest where they could tell me and my friends all of the names that we're known by, and some of them discovered names that they had never heard before, and I was told that I was known by the name of Carhilda by some people or someone. And I drew the conclusion that perhaps it was the name that my birth mother gave me.
Well, that is a very good conclusion to come to. I wouldn't use it too loudly, though, my dear.
Oh!
At least not where... Perhaps not where the occasions are concerned.
Right, okay. I've kind of been using it as my cover name.
Can't call yourself Glenn. Can't call yourself Carhilda.
I can't hold it anymore. Oh, classic Glenn.
Okay. Out of the frying pan, into the fire.
Just names everywhere.
Shit.
You are much further south than you are, and
yes.
Would you be heading northward, or
I would like to, if you would be comfortable with me doing that.
Yeah, I think that would be okay. Perhaps, yes, change to a different pseudonym if you were to head closer to the sea, I would say, or Oathhold, or...
Oh, but you think it's...
Cawen.
Cawen.
Ah, Cawen. Have a cup of tea.
Gwilda.
Well, I suppose I can maybe not use that name for now, I could probably go back to using Gwendolyn. If you think that's... Well, I'll check.
Well, I mean, Prim. It depends. If you want to avoid the DeBarges, perhaps not. But...
Oh, gosh, it's very confusing.
I don't know much about the name, dear, but it was something your mother wanted to be kept secret.
To be kept secret? Did she say why?
No. Unfortunately, I'm quite in the dark about that, but...
I'm sorry if it's brought up any painful memories you mentioned.
No.
No.
No painful memories of your mother.
Good. I'll certainly let you know if I think I'm going to be heading that way. We're finding ourselves kind of drawn south.
Good.
Yeah. Well, if you have if you think of anything else to do with that name that you think would be useful for me to know, do let me know. I'm sure we'll find a way to contact through Juna and what have you. And
Yes. Well, I'll see if I can do any further research on it.
I'd appreciate that. Another little question. As we're in Forlos Vale, on my travels, we met an arcanist by the name of Zerafir Tarek, and when I introduced myself to her as Lady Gwendolyn Rose. She did mention that she had an acquaintance in you through work. I feel like I had a message from her recently, and I imagine me and my friends will go and find her and try and speak to her at some point. So I just thought it might be good to have all the information I could.
Yes. I've worked a little with Arcanist Zerovir, Arcanist Tarek. She's quite a formidable woman.
Yes. I hope I don't run into her again anytime soon, today, because that would be a bit much. I'm quite tired. Maybe tomorrow I could
City's
handle
her.
City's
a big place, isn't it? Why would you still
I mean, It's late.
Just little things. Here and there, as I've built different things for different people. Sometimes I need correspondent within the consortium.
Oh,
It's largely different people. Whoever's available, I've worked on a little thing with her for the De La Vos, I think it was. The De La Vos. I can't remember now. It was years ago.
Do you know what? I've actually come across the Lady Tula de la Vaux on my travels. Oh, well, her servant, lovely guy called Gus. I don't know if you've ever met him. He was lovely.
I can't say I'm familiar. I was working with one of the older chaps. Waylon. Have you come across Waylon?
Waylon Tula Vaux. I don't believe so. What's he like?
Oh, cranky old fart, really.
Oh, okay. Maybe best avoid it.
Yes, well, if you can avoid all of the Delavos.
Oh, really? That's always useful to know.
Don't have long. This thing only has a few minutes on it.
Right. Okay, but there's...
Daily
no,
minutes.
No, nothing that you think I should know about Tarek.
No red flags or anything like that.
Okay.
No, but she was strict. She was incredibly helpful.
You think she's a nice person? Not nice. That's probably not the word.
From my understanding from Kasula, she seems to be some supporter of Prevost, so at least politically we're inclined the same way.
And you support Prevost?
I would say so. My voice doesn't really have much of a sway in these things, but it's a damn sight nicer than Berrien.
Yes, from what I've heard of his methods, I would certainly agree. Well, I, like you say, don't want to use up all the minutes, however this works. It's a wonderful invention, Father.
Thank you. Yes, let me Prim, I'll go wake Prim up.
Yes.
And you hear something
wake her up. Oh, shit.
Running down, a couple of doors slamming, sort of, you can almost picture the exact route he's taking from his bedroom to Prim's. And the door slams open and you just hear Prim! Prim is your sister. She's on the phone.
She's on the stone.
She's on the stone, yeah.
To which there is a grumble. What?
Oh, nice to hear from you too.
Don't be sarcastic, Deli.
Well, I'm sorry to have woken you up, but I just thought I'd, check in on my big sister.
Where are you?
Well, I'm in Forlos Vale, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't have Kasula's stone.
Well, you could have let us know a lot earlier, couldn't you?
Well, I let you know as soon as I could. I don't have ways of connecting to people. I don't have a stone. I don't have magic. I did
my best.
Well,
you could have taken one. If you'd just spoken to us before you left, you could have taken one with you, couldn't you?
Oh, really? Oh, you would have let me take one of the stones?
Well, you could have taken one.
You'd let me
you
touch
would have
any
taken
of
one
the
if you
adventure.
Just thought for a second, wouldn't
oh,
you?
Oh my good! I'm trying to say hello.
Hello.
Did you miss me?
What do you want?
That means you missed me. I want to check what's been going on with the DeBarges, and should I carry on having?
Oh, because you suddenly care about what's going on with the DeBarges.
Well, I do care when they send bounty hunters after me.
Well, yes, somebody had to bring you back home, didn't they? Wasn't it like you were going to do it by yourself?
So you sent the bounty hunters after me?
No, they sent the bounty hunters. I just agreed that perhaps it was a good idea.
How could you think that was a good idea? Obviously,
well,
I was...
How old are you? You can't just run across the country by yourself, Deli.
I'm 20 years old. I'm not
That's
a child.
That's not old enough. You've never left the town before. What were you...
I'm with people. I'm with friends.
You have no idea how much... How much sweet talking I've had to do to them. How much I've had to smooth this all over. And all you're saying is, oh, why are you sending bounty hunters after me?
Yes, I am saying that. I'm sorry that you had to smooth things over and sort these things out. But honestly, you could do with getting out of the town a bit more often.
Well, I have been getting out of the town, haven't I? I've had to go to Carth. I've had to go to Laveau. I've had to go and have all of these dinners and make sweet talk to all of these people who are just... Oh.
Insufferable?
Insufferable. Worse than your would-be husband.
Well...
Yes, that's right. There are people worse than him.
God.
There are whiskers. Oh, my God. Oh.
Well, see, aren't you glad that I didn't actually marry into
no,
that family?
No, I'm not glad.
Well, he would then be your brother-in-law and you'd have
I
to
I wouldn't
see...
have had to worry about you anymore, would I?
You don't have to worry about me, Prim.
Of course I do. I'm your big sister. I have to worry about you. Your little smelly deli. I have to worry about you.
Don't call me smelly deli. You know how I hate that.
It's in the world notes.
Canon.
Prim, I'm good. I've got friends and I'm doing things and I'm a lot more capable than you give me credit.
I'm going back to bed. I love you. Good night.
I love you.
Like another little rustle as the stone is clearly passed back. Sort of a night, Deli. There's a night, Prim. And like, sort of your father tiptoes at the door. You hear a click.
She'll forgive me, won't she?
Yes, I think so.
Cool.
I won't wake Dorian up, but give him a little squidge from you.
Please do, and if you see any of my friends, especially Laurel, please let her know I'm safe, and I hope she's keeping well.
Yes. She's actually, been around quite a lot.
She has?
Yes, I mean, Beatrice is a very good cook, but, Well, Laurel's just been doing much better with looking after Dorian.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's been quite nice.
I didn't think she'd get so involved in family with me being gone. But that's good.
I think she was worried to begin with and then kind of fell into a pattern and they were playing and they'd go horse riding together. And well, now they just... She's a wonderful babysitter.
Yeah, she's great with kids. She seems happy, though.
I think she misses you.
Is she dating?
We all do, of course.
She dating, hanging out with anybody that you would know of? Not that you would know of that sort of thing. That's probably an awkward question.
I've never taken the liberty to ask.
That's fine. That's...
But would... Shall I make inquiry?
No. She doesn't need to know that I'm asking that sort of thing. Okay.
As you're holding the stone, it just starts to get a little warm in your hand, and you've noticed that the markings around the edge are just slowly, like, flashing a gentle red.
Okay, it's flashing red. Is this mean that...
We're almost out of time.
Okay, well, stone you some other time. I don't know what to call it.
I wasn't sure what to call it. I was
stone you.
I was thinking
pebble you later.
Rose reporter, rose receiver.
The rose receiver.
The rose pebble.
The word call is still
rose pebble
legit.
Because it sounds like petal.
The stone.
The rose pebble.
That's actually. I also thought the rose brick.
No, that's Nokia. You can't have that.
pebble. I like pebble.
Okay. Well, yes, sorry, and good night, and I love you.
I love you too, Deli.
Bye.
Need some more minutes from Vodastone.
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 Yes, that's Vodastone. Brilliant.
Vodastone. Well played, sir. Well played.
Gwendolyn, like, fiddles around with it. She doesn't quite know how to turn it off exactly. She just keeps, like, squeezing and fiddling.
like a mum on FaceTime. How do you turn this thing on?
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's just like, my dad, the
very top of her head the whole time in the call. Yeah. Just this huge amount of space above her.
Yeah. As you start making your way downstairs, Gwendolyn, you hear the doorbell ring. And so you're perched on the stairs as Zerevir Tarik is led into, sort of, through.
Oh no, her ears were burning.
Everyone in the kitchen. Guys, you've just had a door to the face.
Take 10 points of damage.
Oh, wow. It's a hard door.
I mean, not that bad, but... But yeah, Zerevir Tarik has stood very much in the doorway. She's sort of just looking at you all. May I speak with them in private? Quince. He's like, yes, I suppose. Would you like the kitchen, or...
Yes.
The kitchen would be just fine. And she sort of steps further in. As then, Casilla and Quince are closing the door, and, like, clearly about to be listening, Gwendolyn, you, like, appear.
We were just hanging out.
A visitor. Oh. A visitor for you and your companion.
Shall I go in? Are you going to be out here?
Yeah, we won't. We probably... No, we won't.
Gwendolyn just, like, looks at Casilla and gives her kind of a knowing smile. And
okay, well, I'm sure you're going to get on about your day. I'll pop in and say hello.
Yes. Quince kind of mutters. He goes, I should probably... Turn in for the night. But feel free to let yourselves out. Pleasure having you. Take it for your work. Well, the rest of it. He walks up. Casilla doesn't really move. She kind of like moves out of the way for you, but is very much gonna listen.
Gwendolyn rolls her eyes and just goes in. Knowing exactly that Casula's out the door.
Inside of the kitchen, Zerevir sort of strolls across, finds a seat in the centre of the table, just pulls it back and sits herself down. Well, it's been wonderful. I've not seen you all in so long. Please do take a seat.
Don't mind if I do. Kid who grabs a sandwich, pulls out a chair and sits down. But he'll check it first. And then he'll eat it.
David, am I wearing a bathrobe?
You had been asking after a shower, hadn't you?
Yeah.
We'll say yes. You in all of this time that's passed, you have managed to sneak off and have a shower.
Okay. And it's filled to the brim. The pockets are filled to the brim with all those tiny little like lotions and potions and things that you find in fancy medicine cabinets, like your nice shampoos and whatnot. Skincare.
Sure.
Where's all Guy's normal stuff? Is it just like scattered around the kitchen or...
Well, I mean, like at the end of the day, this bathrobe is far nicer to wear than his normal clothes. So he's completely like taking this in for every chance he can.
Amazing.
So Guy will like gingerly like grab a kitchen stool and just like cross his legs and like sit on the stool.
Trying not to flash.
Yeah.
He's got that as a back pocket as a what's that film where like she crosses her legs at a convenient moment?
Basic Instinct.
Yeah, a Basic Instinct if it gets too dark, guys, don't worry.
Classic Bond.
Who's the guy? Is he trying to seduce me?
So yeah, Zerevir just taking a seat. She gets out a little paper bag and like rummages around in it. Pulls out a little blue, like almost bonbon type thing, and just like pops it in her mouth. That's a little chew.
Juna's going to make sure Iwana is very near her.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably prudent if we have some privacy during this conversation. Yes?
Yeah, agreed.
Would anybody object?
No.
I don't object, I just wonder why.
Aren't we already pretty private?
Yeah.
Closed door?
Yes, yeah, somewhat, but of course... We never know who's listening in. And she starts drawing with her finger some letters onto the table with like almost like a little bit of sugar that's left on from the bonbon.
I will watch very closely.
Then sort of like scrubs it clean. And as she does so, there's like a little arcane spark and the letters fizzle up and then just appear on all of the walls around the room.
Oh. What's that?
Just some protection. It means that we'll be quite safe in here. Nobody can listen in. Nobody... outside will be able to hear us. No scrying, for instance, or other divination magics will be able to penetrate the force field.
That is very cool.
I stole your shampoos!
Does it cut out all sounds?
Yes.
Wow.
So I don't know if this isn't a this isn't another zone of truth. This is just you don't have to be truthful, is what I'm saying. Are you being truthful?
You haven't asked us anything.
We were before.
She's very much directing that at Gaius. Yeah.
I did steal the shampoos. Yes.
That's probably not for the best.
And Kida would blow dry his hair from across the room by pointing the finger at him.
Goodness.
It's like Guy suddenly got like an 80s blowout, like with all the the most luscious his hair's look this whole
campaign. It is like full on like lion's mane.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was imagining, Chris.
Talking like Heathcliff, motherfucker.
Oh yeah.
I must say it's sort of some surprise to see you all in town.
Yeah, quite a coincidence.
Why is that?
Just odd for our paths to keep crossing.
Well, it's only the second time. And we're busy doing the Twain Tide Tea Tournament.
You obviously don't know much about this Twain Tide Tea Tournament.
Exactly.
Four spoons.
Unless are you involved in the Twain Tide Tea Tournament?
I'm aware of the Twain Tide Tea Tournament, but
okay.
Exactly does that pertain to your involvement at Sallow 16?
Can we let's stop. Let's drop this here. Given the secrets that we've both parties have had to like keep for the longest time possible since we first met, let's drop the pretense here. You know we were at Sallow 16, and you know that has nothing to do with the Twain Tide Tournament.
Well, no,
but
that's...
it was a coincidence that we got caught up in all this. It wasn't our choice. Things just happened.
Yeah, we were just watching Tymon Prevost.
And people attacked him.
Yeah.
And then we tracked those guys back to Sallow 16, which is how you got involved. Honestly, a complete coincidence.
And we're here... I mean, we came to this city because of the Twain Tide Tea Tournament, and then we wanted to find out what was going on with Prevost.
Now, if you're good at something, you never do it for free.
What about you? What brings you here?
What about your involvement in Rosthall?
Again, another coincidence. Someone was masquerading as one of us. There was some confusion. We tried to bring the suspect down, and one thing led to another. Nothing we started.
And nothing we really ended either.
People just came after us. We just wanted to pass through the town and things got out of hand.
Well, I do not profess to be knowledgeable about the tapestry of the cycle, but I'm no fool, and to ignore a knot of string such as yours is to become just a frayed tangle in its wake. If you were, as you say, purely in these places by coincidence, why exactly are your names being stripped from all of our reports?
What?
That's news, honestly.
We wouldn't know anything about that.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I mean precisely what I say. Every report that we've put in that mentions the five of you, I've checked, they've been redacted.
Do you know who by?
Who?
Yeah.
No, I'm very much hoping you'll tell me.
Well, we don't have any friends powerful enough to want to redact our names for any such reason.
The person we've had most dealing with is you. So that's all I could say. Is it you?
Enkidu, can you make a wisdom saving throw, please?
Mother fudging.
Is this a spell?
Yes.
Counterspell.
Counterspell?
Yeah.
The wording of counterspell, what is that? How does that work?
If I recognise a spell as being cast, I can just counter it. Let me get there.
You can't see a spell being cast.
I can't see a spell being cast.
Nope.
Okay, fine. Wisdom saving throw. That's a natural two.
Ooh. Natural two.
Ooh. Ooh.
So, as these questions are being put to you, what are your deeper thoughts? You feel something suddenly, push in, past your surface, and just like further in. Mm-hmm. What exactly are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about Erida fudging reports or getting access to fudge thoughts. I'm also thinking about is cut all the arms out, please. Is Zeravir on a side?
Apart from mine will stay.
And wondering if the others inside are thinking about stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have access to their thoughts.
Do we see this happen, Bebedee?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
Because I would have counterspelled it if I did.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean like, do we see this, but do we see like anything that, I mean more like Enkidu struggling like to hold it back or anything like that?
Yeah, like it's almost a physical sensation of someone like rummaging through your thoughts. So yeah, there'd definitely be some physical awareness, and like it goes on for about a minute.
It, like I do I need to roll for Juna to realize what's going on, because I have something I'd like to do if I know it's going on, but obviously I would only do it if I know it's going on.
Make an insight check.
Yeah.
Is Juna gonna try and detect thoughts or detect thoughts?
Juna knows she has no hope with that kind of stuff. Oh, she's going in a completely different direction, hopefully. 17,
you do notice that he's clearly into some discomfort. There, you do get a sense of the way he's reacted. It is a similar way to how people have reacted when you've cast Detect Thoughts.
In that case, I think Juna's going to go a bit rogue in the hope of distracting Zerevir Taric, and she's going to communicate with Ruana, who is currently a hawk, mm-hmm. with some nice sharp fangs, and she's going to ask Ruana to attack her.
What?
And as Ruana's like digging her claws into her, she's gonna be like, she's got, what's she doing? And sort of like bump into Zerevir and be like, this has never happened before. And just cause a complete stir for as long as possible.
Okay. Let me quickly roll the thing. Okay. As you're moving around the room, can you make a performance check, please?
Yeah. Are you sure you don't want me to make a deception check?
No, I think a performance for this one.
Oh, man. I'm going to need
it's
to
charisma,
add to
isn't it? It should be fine.
Clasping at straws.
Is that Favour of the Gods?
I Favour of the Gods it. 15.
15, okay. Yeah, you flail around the room. Zerevir kind of like watches you for a moment. You really should train your familiar. Is that a familiar or just a bird you bought?
It is a familiar. Help me, Zerevir. Ow, she's digging her talons in.
Okay, I mean, this is only... I really don't mean to... And she just
Juna
casts...
knocks into her.
Yes, okay, thank you. And she casts a little firebolt, as small as she can, over at Ruana.
Oh, no.
And that's a 16 to hit.
I'm not really going to look that up. I feel like it does.
I mean, it's a... pretty high AC.
That's pretty good.
Hawk armor class is 13.
Shall I retcon it and just say yes? Yes, that hits.
So this little fire bolt thing, she's tried to make it as small and precise as possible so not to catch anybody else in the room, just catches Ruana's wing and does 6 points of damage. So she, I assume, just puffs out.
Yes, she has 1 hit point.
There you go. She says, obviously I didn't want to do that. I'll refund you any herbs and components you need, of course.
I take lavender. You know who that was, don't you?
I'm sorry? You're familiar.
You know who that was, don't you?
Well, yes, I'd rather hoped it was your familiar.
No, that is the witch in the woods who has taken on the entirety of the blame for what happened at Tillersham on your instruction.
Oh, so she's not dead. That's a good thing, I suppose.
Well, one person who is dead, who you assured us would come to no harm, is Jasana, who we had to learn through Prevos, was executed for crimes she didn't commit.
Well, she was involved in the theft, but yes, it was rather unfortunate the route they chose to take with her.
You promised she'd come to no harm.
She came to no harm whilst in my care.
And... you got overruled quite recently with Sallow 16. Does that happen often to you?
It's becoming more and more common, actually. It's part of the reason I wanted to talk to you.
So you're finding yourself in need of a new friend in these trying times?
Finding a strange pattern of behaviours.
Can I just ask before we move on to that? What happened to Oscan?
He was taken under the care of Lord Berrien.
Oh, no.
Beyond that, I don't know.
Oh.
Lord Berrien.
Yes, he made quite a show of it.
What do you mean a show? What did he seem to
Stepping in to save the young boy who was tragically caught up in his parents' theft.
Does that mean he's here? If he's still alive?
I wouldn't know, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. We hope you enjoyed the silliness of the last No Small Questions. Though myself, Ben, and Sam were all rather frazzled, it was so great to hang out with our wonderful patrons. Wish you'd been there live for the fun? Then check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com. We have 4 different levels of support, so choose the one that suits you best. Teapots and Up are currently enjoying David's music for the Cities of Dravain, with Vernock Rise and Rust Hall already available. Next week, we have a special treat for all levels of our Patreon, as we will be releasing episodes 1 and 2 of our new show, The Rambler's Rest. Patreon isn't the only way to support us. Reviews are also a brilliant way to show No Small Roles some love. So please do drop us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, or wherever you like to review your podcasts. It's a great way of helping more listeners find the show. That's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the adventure.
So, you know, you're a little bit out of sorts. You're not sure what the situation is. We're in town, doing our thing. Like, with all due respect, it's nice to see a familiar face and all, but, like, why'd you come to us? Besides just, you know, asking what we're about and stuff.
So, Zerevir kind of eyes you up. Not eyes you up, that's the weird.
He is just wearing a bathrobe.
He is just wearing a bathrobe.
Guy goes, Zerevir, eyes up here.
she nods in like a sort of understanding. Yeah, let's get to the point of it. She says, well, I'm quite concerned about Exissa and Archmage Granius's intentions with Pellegrini, and I just wanted to clarify a few things, as you were chasing him and perhaps knew a little more than I did. To start at the beginning and give you a full picture of what I'm exactly dealing with. Since our meeting in Tillisham, I had then been assigned to investigate the Lockholt Henge, and I set up a small outpost using the Vondel Manor for the Arcanist Consortium to run research. However, as we secured the area, secured the henge, well, I was very quickly replaced in that manner, and slowly replaced with those allied with Archmagus Grania. My research was taken away, and I obviously expressed interest in continuing, but I was denied, and this happens occasionally, so I thought nothing of it. Instead, I was sent on a large-scale development plan to encased Rost Hall in a zone of truth, of all things. Obviously, I have some skill in that, and their local town, after the debacle with the Faceless Footman, wanted to secure the town so that nobody could do such things again. Quite a drastic choice, if you ask me, but their local council and their people seemed in favour of it. Only a few small minor protests. This, of course, put me in contact with Arcanist Clain Iovet, and we had some words about a certain group of people who, it transpired, we'd both come into contact with. So, after a wonderful evening, talking away, we're good friends, Clain and I.
I bet you are.
Well, yes, we've both worked for quite some time in the consortium. I decided to read his report, and I discovered at that point that you had been redacted from it. He'd mentioned your involvement firstly at meeting him the night before, and then, of course, a chase through the streets after the Faceless Footman, which involved a group who matched your description, so of course he included you. But for some reason, you disappeared quickly out of that town. So again, highly suspicious whether you were working for or against the Faceless Footman. It's hard to say. Still to be decided, if you ask me. Obviously, knowing that you were mentioned in the report, but then seeing that you had been redacted, I checked my own report on Tillisham, and that too had been largely redacted, including any mention that I'd made of the henge. Usually, those things can be mentioned freely in consortium documents, and not only kept secret from the wider world, but it was strange to have the entire thing redacted in that way.
Maybe that's the truth we can all agree on.
Juno raises an eyebrow.
No, but that's unfortunately the point. The truth that we had agreed had been discarded.
Well, the truth we agreed on is that we weren't there. So, we weren't there.
Yes, but we'd also agreed that this whole thing was the Witch of the Woods' fault. And in fact, it then wasn't her fault. It was placed entirely on the Vondels. They had, after all, been thieving from their local populace and had merely fallen into some dark magics and it had gone amok.
An entirely more truthful outcome, I have to say.
And not a truth that we spread, either. Yeah.
Nothing we perpetuated on our
end. No.
So it was the people that took over your research that were responsible for Jasana's execution?
No, I'm afraid that was entirely the Lord's Assembly.
Oh dear.
What was the, if you don't mind me asking, what was the name of the arcanists that got put on the Henge project?
Oh, there were a great number of us down that way. Needless to say that they all had close ties to Archmagus Granius.
Do you feel as if you're in any particular danger? Because you're clearly not free to pursue certain issues, certain interests of your own.
In danger, no. More that there is something further going on, and I just want to clarify exactly what.
And what did you get when you poked around inside my head?
Well, I haven't poked around inside your head at all.
Fine.
Why? Do you have something to hide?
No, I just thought we were going to have a conversation.
David?
Yeah?
Does she look like she's telling the truth when she says she hasn't poked around inside in Keith's head?
You can make an insight check if you like.
Yeah.
17.
Yeah, she's looking pretty truthful.
Fair enough.
I twist my ring and cast suggestion. Oh, wait, crap.
Who is this Archmagus Granius? Then.
Petra Granius, she's one of the three in the High Circle.
How long has she been there?
30 years or so?
Not long.
Well.
Considering.
Considering, of course.
Have you got any, like, theories as to why she might be, I don't know, being, like, so secretive?
I'll answer that question with a question. Pedigree had some connection to the Henges. He'd recently come into possession of a certain artifact, and this is the second case to involve both you and a Henge. I should very much like to know if you have any connection to them.
Sadly, we don't.
We honestly don't.
If you don't mind me asking, what does Pellegrini have that's to do with the Henges?
Through some contact, or rather. We have learned that he'd recently purchased what we're calling a Henge key.
This is Ben getting overexcited, not Oren, just to be crystal clear.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, for listeners, Ben is just like bobbing around in his Zoom square.
I've written like so many notes.
Yeah, same.
But of course, we don't know exactly what that entails, what that implies.
A Henge key.
Though considering his connection with the Children of Havoc, it is some cause for concern.
And do you know of any more Henges apart from the Lockholt one?
Yes, there are a number.
And so are you wanting to find this key?
What I'm wanting to find is a reason to... is a reason that this entire thing is being kept so off the books. The Henge key itself is obviously dangerous. I can only hope that in capturing Pellegrini, they have also captured the artifacts that he's gotten his hands on.
I believe some of your friends in the consortium have taken him.
Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, not to the usual holding pens.
So, obviously, there's a faction within the consortium that are serving their own interests.
Exactly. It is a cause for some concern.
Indeed.
But I must ask again. Mm-hmm. You have no connection to the Henges?
Nope.
We genuinely have no connection to the Henges. I would love to say that we had more to do with the Henges. I feel an enormous amount of guilt with what happened at the Henge.
And Gina, can you make a wisdom saving throw, please?
Oh, no!
as you're talking.
The fudge.
Mm. Oh, it's bad. It's really bad, people. There's nothing I can do.
I just feel like from now on, every time I hear the word arcanist, I'm going to just leave town. Yeah. I just don't want to meet them.
Guy's hand is going to start hurting.
I don't want to meet them. I really don't. Like, they just keep squeezing truth out of us, like, in, like, a non-consensual manner, and I don't like
it. It's really gross. Yeah.
It's gross. It's just
gross. Ask you a few questions. Oh, okay, never mind. I'll just read your mind. Like, thanks.
Your information is mine. Thank you.
Oh, is it against magic?
It is a magical saving
throw. Yes. I thought I had advantage, and I do. Which takes me to a 50.
15. That's unfortunately not enough. Closer.
High level mage.
So as you're talking about the henges, and obviously thinking about them, what are your deeper thoughts about your connection to the henges?
I think Juna's thoughts about her deeper connection to the henges are genuinely that she wishes that they'd gone to the henge when they left Tillisham, that she feels responsible for Ruana's death, and that she's scared that the henge was left unguarded and is thinking, I want to go directly to that henge now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's genuinely what she's thinking. Mm. And what she was about to say out loud, so that's lucky.
Kind of, yeah, matches.
That is actually quite lucky.
And sort of, as you sort of finish verbalizing that thought, as well as it, like, going through your mind, and again, you can feel someone push in, as you've done, into, like, other people's minds. You can feel that there is an extra presence there.
And I think Juna, like, wallows in it. Like, she wallows in it, thinking, at least if I'm thinking about this, it's sort of quite a safe thought, I think.
Mm-hmm. Nice, yeah.
Do we see this? Does anyone at the table see that she's doing this to Juna?
Yeah, it could, or, like, because now, like, we sort
it's
of...
twice now.
We've been alerted to the point that she's been like,
no, she's not made any moves to cast magic in any way.
Okay.
She kind of nods though, looking at you. And your connection to the Children of Havoc?
They showed up at the rally, caused some havoc, we fought them off, and we chased them until Axissa chased us off. So no connection really there.
We were literally being paid. We were just like a bunch of hired adventurers. Like, that's literally our gig.
But you're not quite just hired adventurers, are you?
No, we're very handsome, talented adventurers, true.
We're spoon hunters.
And I have a personal connection to Gusrula Timon Prevost's bodyguard. I haven't seen her for a long time. When I saw her under attack, I went to protect her best I can, and I'm grateful that my friends were here to try and help me. I was very keen to hunt down those who had hurt her.
Mm, that is understandable. My meaning more is, Clayn mentioned a... what was the name? Yes, Heron. It was on your minds somewhat.
Heron? That is one of my favourite birds, actually.
Yes, but when you encountered Arcanist Yvette in Rosthall, that scholar was on your mind for some reason.
Well, he is quite handsome. So that's no surprise.
When we met Clayn, it was the second time we had met someone from the Consortium. So, of course, we were thinking of him.
No doubt we were probably thinking of you too.
Hmm. And she kind of like turns her head to the door. She says, what do you think?
Oh no.
And Clayn Yvette appears in the corner.
Oh,
motherfucker!
No,
bastard.
No, David. That's why we haven't seen anybody casting magic.
You can't have them in the same room, David.
Oh. And he kind of shrugs and he goes, I personally think they're quite trustworthy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? Insight check?
Feel free.
I'm insight checking him as well.
The mind-reading invisible guy in the corner is talking about who's trustworthy and who's not.
Well,
that's rich.
Guys, put a shirt on. There's an invisible pervert in the corner.
Trying to disarm the situation, Guys immediately drops his robe.
Bad other people were doing insight.
My insight, that is going to be... ooh! Unnatural 20.
Noise.
Yes. Oh, very nice. Yeah, what is it you're trying to like suss out from him?
When he said we're really trustworthy, is he being sarcastic or is he being genuine?
He's being genuine.
There you go. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, we got 100%. Like, as soon as he says that, you realize that he has been not only listening to what you've been saying, but scanning your thoughts the entire time. Yeah. And again, for Enkidu and Juno, you're like, oh, that's why. This is who it is.
Yeah. Idiot. I hate this guy.
Never change, Clay. Really never change. Why don't we stop now with a roundabout discussion? We'll just cut to it. There's something you want from us.
Well, that's why I appeared in this way.
Well, take a seat, have a sandwich, and make a proposal, because this is really getting boring.
I have actually been wanting some of the wine.
Help yourself.
Otherwise, it would have been quite difficult, because you would have seen a floating glass, and I just thought that
was probably... Shut up! Sit down.
Now there's no need to talk like that.
You judge us as trustworthy when you sat there in the corner, invisible, scanning our thoughts.
In the nicest possible way, I have no idea if you're a threat to the country.
Threat to the country?
So of course I have to check. That's my entire job. I've deemed you not a threat.
Look, you're going to understand how we feel a bit, buddy, because, like, you know, it's rude to, like, you know, step on someone's shoe and not apologize.
Oh, certainly.
It's another thing entirely to read their inner thoughts.
Yes, it's also entirely, I would say criminal to just let a mass murderer free, isn't it? Or impersonate an arcanist. That's also quite criminal.
Orin eats a sandwich.
And also be working in some way to investigate the consortium as a whole without consent from the consortium.
Well, you've lost us there.
Well.
Miss Epthorne, I think that there's... Yeah, jig is truly up now.
Truly. He sort of leans over, picks up a bottle of wine and a glass.
Juno goes into Enkidu's head. Enkidu!
Gwendolyn just looks at Enkidu for the second time he's thrown us under the bus tonight. She's just looking at him just like, the fuck, why?
Well, he's been reading our thoughts for the past however long. But now's an opportunity now. So, make your proposal.
Yes, well, the thing is, and Seraphir, I'm sure, mentioned it as a brief moment ago, that, well, Pellegrini has not been taken to the holding cells, the pens, as is usually required of a captive of the consortium. You know, all due process is given to them as much as we can, of course. No, instead, rather curiously, he's been taken to, Archmagus Granius's personal estate.
Oh.
In Newford.
Oh.
In Newford. So they're still in the city.
Yes, that's what you were saying, wasn't it, Zerovir?
Yes, that's exactly what I was saying. Now, it would be an awful shame, she goes on, if a claimant of the throne were to happen to be asking after a tour of the consortium. Well, that would require the attention of all of the High Circle, wouldn't it? Yvette.
Well... Yes, it definitely would. I can imagine that Archimagus Granius would not be at home in such an instance.
Hang on, we've gone back to talking in circles again. Please clarify what you mean.
Are you guys wanting us to, like, break in there while the Arcanists are all out of Dodge?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I couldn't confirm that, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry, I speak thieves' cant. Ixlay ukpe max be weke.
Well, let's just say, for example, you know, I do have actually to need to speak to Exissa, Wingthrup, who was normally on guard. I can assume would be on guard with Pellegrini. I probably need to speak to her quite urgently about a possible connection between the faceless footman and the children of Havoc. Could well be a lengthy meeting, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, to continue the circle talk, oh dear, everyone might be out of the house for a bit.
It could well be that way. Did you hear, Claim? Did you hear that, such a shame, a selection of edible orbs have been misplaced from the alchemical suite?
Is that so?
Oh, yes. I believe the blue ones... when eaten, make you quite invulnerable to divination magics, whilst the yellow ones turn you invisible for a full hour.
Oh, well, that's certainly remarkable. I think we've probably taken up enough of these young people's time, haven't we?
Oh, young!
question, though. When's this claimant to the throne making their tour?
Oh, I couldn't possibly. I believe I was just confirming things with Quince on the way over. The day after tomorrow?
Ah, okay. I see.
Yes, that was what we agreed.
David, just... I would just like to insight whether they are setting us up to fall here.
Mm.
Whether there's any, like, alternative motive to us, to them heavily implying that we should break into this place, speak to this person, find out some clues. But yeah, I just want to know, like, are they trying to get us into deeper trouble, or are there intentions for us to actually pull this off?
Yeah, make an insight check.
22.
They are fully hoping that you will take up the task and discover something that they are missing. They want you to succeed at this.
Ah, I noticed you had some sweets on yourself. A blue bonbon of sorts.
Oh, these?
I don't suppose you want to share some, do you? We've got a sweet tooth, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I wouldn't mind a yellow one.
Well, yes, I've got many more at home. Feel free to take this bag.
Oh, thank you so much.
They're quite sour.
Are they yellow and blue and they look in them?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Juno is going to take a yellow one and put it in her pocket.
Yeah, there are six of each.
Okay.
Okay.
You get from the understanding, essentially, as she'd eaten a blue one in front of you, that Clayne had probably eaten a yellow one.
Yeah, yeah, but there are six left of each.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Aggie can consume the sweets. Just FYI. just thinking that out loud now.
This is a sad looking teapot goose.
I'm afraid she's going to have to sit this one out. I just feel like the metal honking teapot is not going to be the best in terms of a stealthy.
Our little teapot.
She can go in my bag.
Zerevir does stand up and sort of nods to Clayne. Yes, well, it has been pleasure seeing you all again, and I do hope if you learn anything about the Children of Havoc or their connection to, well, anything that we've discussed, of course, feel free to message me at any time.
Arcanist?
Yes?
How does one join the consortium?
Well, you can apply to become an apprentice. We'll obviously give you an appraisal, see if you're assess you on your magical abilities and then assign you to training if we think you're good enough.
Do I pick up a form?
You can do.
Where?
We have open calls a few times a year as well.
Uh-huh. When's the next one?
In a few months' time, but with the Twain Tide Tea Tournament, we've been using that as a small way to scout out potential new apprentices.
Oh.
Did I make the cut?
Not everybody is suited to academic lifestyles. And of course, it is always helpful to have people outside of the confines of academia.
Yeah, that's probably why. Okay, so just checking here as well. Like, you know, we're stuck out on our money, like our last endeavor. Unfortunately, we didn't get enough money from it because we got interrupted quite abruptly. And, you know, these endeavors, they are poorly funded as such. And, you know, we are always looking out for kind charity donations and whatnot.
Yes, well, many good lucks to you in that endeavor.
God damn it.
And the two of them start for the door. Zerevir sort of wiggles a finger and the symbols around the room fade.
But seriously? Where would I get an application form?
The front desk.
Uh-huh. And then how would I then get the interview? Would it happen quickly?
Probably not quickly. A time and date would be organised and you'd be expected to show.
In the consortium?
Exactly.
Understood.
Or suitable outpost. Good luck to you if you wish to apply.
Orin, I think you would make a fantastic consortium person.
Thanks, Juno.
Clayne kind of like chucks back his wine. It's wonderful seeing you all again.
It's nice to see you.
Well, no, oh, that's a good point. And he sort of pats a pocket, like pulls out another little yellow sweet and pops in his mouth and disappears.
Never change.
And Zerevir opens the door and leaves.
I do not like invisible people.
No, he's very creepy.
Orin goes swinging his hands around the room to see if there's anyone else invisible hiding in the room.
Yeah.
Guy swings his arms around for a bottle and, like, chugs a large glass of red wine.
Akita's just going to step out the kitchen and just, like, cock his head to the side, just hear if there's any movement from upstairs.
A little bit of movement from upstairs. Not a whole amount. Maybe one person moving around.
Okay.
I'll say even without sort of a perception check that you can hear some creaky floorboards. More interestingly, though, is Kasula is slumped on a chair in the room outside of the kitchen.
Ah.
Clearly just waiting for for news of some kind.
Juna, as it all sort of finishes, she's just going to turn to Gwen and say, how are you doing? How was it?
Family stuff. Fine.
Good.
I'll tell you about it later. Yeah.
You're okay?
I am about that stuff. I'm not sure how I'm feeling about what's just happened.
Yeah, me too. She squeezes her hand and gives her some guidance.
No.
And Kidu will wave back to Gwendolyn and say, weird hand signals incoming. He's going to point to Gwendolyn, point to Kasula, like, do you two want to... And he'll make their flappy symbol with his hand. Like, do you guys want to talk? Because I could, you know, she's had a long day.
Yeah, like, Gwendolyn is just like, she's not in the best of moods with Enkidu right now. Whether he can tell that, I'm not sure. But she kind of nods and she goes over. Like, is Kasula, she's fallen asleep?
Yeah, you can tell that she was like waiting and it's kind of turned into dozing. And she's like perked up a little bit as people have walked past, but then it's more like she's just fallen back asleep again.
Yeah, Gwendolyn's just like, I think you need to rest. And so she starts to help Kasula up to her bedroom that she was in earlier.
Yeah.
She's had a long day.
Thank you, dear. I don't think they've set rooms out for you. Do you have somewhere to stay in town?
We do. We do. Don't you worry about us. You work on getting better.
Come by tomorrow, though, won't you?
I think we'll need to.
So climbs into bed.
And then Gwendolyn will come back and join everybody else.
As they go to leave, Juna says, now we need to get back without any trouble.
Yeah, let's go out the back. Come on.
Yeah, through the stables.
Yeah, and we'll make our way back to the inn. Guy will point.
Mommy, where the inn was? It's been a long day.
It's been a very long day.
Yeah.
Where was the inn, David?
It was in Wrighton.
In
the Feathers Pillow.
In Wrighton.
Feathers Feathered Pillow.
So we'd have to go through the Vale and past Arkenwell on the way.
Goodness me.
We're not going into the consortium. It's late at night.
No, I know we're not going into the consortium, but Orin very much wants to pick up some paperwork on the way past.
They won't be open, will they?
No.
It's so like late. The Houses of Parliament being open. Like,
that is the longest day we've had in a long time.
Orin is inspired. Yeah, we'll get he will go he will past try. And check.
We will try. We'll get a clerk late at night.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. I need to get a
notification. The front desk is closed until tomorrow morning. Thank you.
When guys put his clothes back on and stuff, he looks a little bit more padded.
Oh God, is he wearing the robe underneath?
Yes.
Chris adds 4,000 robes to his inventory.
It's not a hotel, guys.
Has he also got those fake slippers on the inside of his shoes?
Oh, yeah.
Cardboard.
The little, the really rubbish little thin ones. Oh, my gosh. So, back to the inn?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. A rest would be good.
Yeah. I think it's time.
The walk back, like, I think Gwendolyn's going to be... She's just a little bit... So she might not be so chatty.
Can we keep our eyes out in case we're being followed as well by any spies or buried?
Yeah. Investigation check, please.
Not good.
Do you get advantage? Cause...
Yeah, because we'd all be looking.
Yeah, I'll say so.
Okay, fine. Oh, that was much better.
Wee.
I went from like a 6 to a 21.
Wow.
21. Oh, there is a brief point that you think someone's following you. They do hang quite a way back, but
with some of Orin's like quick turning through alleyways and things, you very quickly lose them.
Mm.
As you do pass, are you going to pass the Arcanist Consortium?
Orin really wants to.
I like the idea that everyone's like, okay, what's the quickest way back? And Orin's like, well, it has to be this way.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just past the consortium.
And Orin does know all the best back alleys.
Yes, yeah. He does.
He's the guy with the map.
He is?
Jesus, David. Sorry.
Why did I find that so funny?
Guy just talked to David. How weird.
Oh, mighty God of fate.
Yeah, the guy at the desk.
Is it the same guy from earlier?
Yeah, so go. He's like, yeah. Okay, why are you back? Why have you brought friends? You know that we're closed.
Back again.
Kind of grumbles at the question for an application and starts rummaging through like loads of little cupboards and stuff that he's got behind him. But eventually he does slap down like a pamphlet in front of you that's got a full list of questions and answers. And
thank you very much.
Just deliver that back here.
Will do. Be back here in no time. You haven't got a shiny brochure, have you?
No.
Okay.
You want Orin wanted university prospectus, but for the
he wants a prospectus.
It's the most Orin thing ever.
they need to work on their marketing. I mean, there's so many choices of magic schools. I mean, why would I pick this one if they don't even have a brochure?
But yeah, the whole walk back probably takes about 2.5 hours.
Flipping heck.
Oh. It's long. It's across the city.
And there was no like gondola, no carriage service, no hackney cabs, anything like that.
Not this time of night, no. Like, yeah, you're looking at like maybe 2 o'clock in the morning by the time you rock back up at the Feather Pillar.
Yeah. Oh, if only we had our flies.
And Kidu does that weird meme with the puppet that just looks to one side and just looks back like, I had a short rest, I could have flown over any time.
And we all make it back, hopefully.
Oh, look, the inn. The pub.
Yeah, you make it back, you're given your key to your room. I did not make a note if you'd bought one room or many.
Oh.
Did you buy one room with bunk beds, is that right?
Yeah, I think we had like that a dormitory style bunk beddy thing. That feels right.
Yeah, because Juna said she needs to have a bottom bunk, please.
Yeah,
that's right. So yeah, you all make your way in, sort of claim bunks and slump down for a very long rest.
Yay!
Oh, it feels so nice.
And that's where we're in the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, we got here to a long rest.
We got to bed, guys. We made it.
Made it to the end of the whole campaign.
Gwendolyn has put the security stuff around.
Yeah,
the room, the staff as well. Like, she's doing that everywhere nowadays.
And as they go to sleep, like, Guy will just play like a little tune to do like dancing lights, but they'll be very small, very little.
Aww.
And they'll go and they'll just hover around Oren's head to help him read the pamphlet at night.
Aww.
You know he is reading that pamphlet as he falls
100%.
Asleep. His face just like puh. Falls asleep on top of the pamphlet.
Also, Juna's going to do a little ritual before she falls asleep to get Ruana back, to wake up to Ruana. She needs Ruana back after that conversation.
Enkidu will not sleep.
Yeah, Enkidu will... airplane mode? What are you calling it, Daryl, when he does like his like...
He just stays awake. I mean, we're just like...
Stasis.
Kind of like, a meditative... almost like trance or like just a meditative state.
Yeah.
Something that feels familiar rather than, oh, he suddenly does power saving mode. Like,
it's not like that, is it?
So he just goes into like a meditative state and he's thinking about infiltrating places.
How does Gwen go off to sleep?
Oh, she's grumpy for a while, thinking, well, what's the point of even having a cover if you're just going to pretend that you don't even have one? And then, so she's having a little grumble in her head. And then she goes to sleep.
So with Gaius's sort of dancing lights and tune giving a nice soft glow to the room, that's where we're in the episode.
Yeah. Oh, and the smell of burning lavender.
Oh, yeah.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.